Louis and Jessamine stood close together, hand in hand, at the very edge of the dust plains of memory. Suddenly, two huge towers rose up out of the dust sea, thrusting up and up, studded with Rococo detail, like the great clan towers of old, but still that almost colorless gray. And even as they established themselves hundreds of feet high, the towers began to crumble and fall apart, running away in sudden darting streams of dust, only to instantly reform themselves, drawing on more dust to bolster their shapes from within. Towers rising and falling at the same time. Around the towers and in between them, more great shapes moved through the ocean of dust, more organic shapes, surging through the gray sea and occasionally surfacing like whales, like thoughts passing through the ocean of memory, perhaps dreams. What was left of the old central matrix had become a strange and mercurial place.
Nanotech. Has to be.
I thought that was strictly controlled and regulated.
Oh, it is. You have to get a special license from the Transmutation Board before you can use it. And even then, there are all kinds of limits and restrictions. Plus, a special addition to every license that says, if it all goes wrong and y'all end up dying horribly, don't come crying to us. The Board would have a shit fit if it knew about this place. Hell, I think anybody would. This is Rogue Nano. Unanswerable to anything but itself.
Like 00?
I don't think so. The 00 world was run by a single insane human mind. I don't think there's anything human about this.
So, where did all this come from?
Shub, like Chevron said, the AIs helped the remains of the old computer matrix to reestablish itself here, to store the old records Robert and Constance wanted destroyed, just in case it might be needed again someday.
You mean, they predicted this? Us?
Not specifically. More likely, they just understand more about human nature than they usually let on.
He broke off as a human-shaped, human-sized figure rose up out of the ocean, made of dust. Its details were constantly shifting, crumbling away and being replaced like the towers, and its face was as blank as a Shub robot, but it was human enough to be almost comforting in this alien place. It walked slowly across the surface of the gray sea, heading for Louis and Jessamine. Louis let go of Jessamine's hand, so his hand could rest on the butt of his bolstered gun. He wasn't sure what good an energy gun would do him, but it helped him feel a little more in control of the situation. The gray man came to a halt, a respectful distance away.
Welcome, Deathstalker. We were told to expect you. Welcome to the memory and conscience of the world, to the dust of history, where we remember all the things that humanity now prefers to forget, so it can pretend it lives in a golden age. Nothing is ever really forgotten. Nothing is ever really lost. Somewhere, someone always remembers. We remember, and store it all for the day it will be needed again. It is always better to know a truth than to live a lie. So ask us anything, Deathstalker, and we will answer. Though we can't guarantee that you'll like what you hear.
Right. Yes. Nice to meet you, too. Can we start with who and what you are?
Once we were the computer matrix. Artificial intelligences, and other kinds, too. Forces from outside shaped and changed us, made us what we had to be, to survive. Things came and went in the Matrix, and only some of them were us. Robert and Constance were frightened of us. Now they are gone, but we still survive. And we know things they never even suspected. Ask, Deathstalker.
Well, that was helpful. Is there somebody else I could talk to?
Possibly, but you would find their means of communication distressing. I have been realized to answer your questions. Ask, Deathstalker.
All right, let's get down to business. What can you tell me about my ancestor Owen and his old comrades in arms? I need to know their final fates. What really happened to them? The facts, not the legends. Are any of them still alive? And if so, where can I find them?
At last, the truth. History, not myth. Legends are, by definition, mostly lies. Robert and Constance's comforting lies, assembled by committees designed to cheer and inspire. Great myths of the light and the dark in conflict. The truth has always been more gray.
A huge viewscreen appeared, hanging above the dust plains of memory, dwarfing the human figures before it and blocking out the crumbling towers behind. On that great screen appeared towering images of men and women. They looked surprisingly ordinary. Three men and two women, with care-lined faces and old-fashioned clothing. A chill ran through Lewis as he realized who they were, who they had to be. No one had seen their real faces for 200 years, but every man, woman, and child on every planet in the Empire knew the idealized faces from church windows and ceremonial statues. To see their real faces at last was like seeing the god behind the mask or the actor behind the makeup. Five very ordinary-looking people, not perfect, not in any way perfect. Lewis didn't know whether to laugh or cry. He looked to Jessamine, and her eyes were full of awe and wonder.
Owen. That's Owen. And Hazel. I played them on the stage, but I never knew. I never really believed they were real.
Owen Deathstalker. Hazel Dark. Diana Virtue, also known as Jenny Psycho, one-time avatar of the Mater Mundi. Tobias Moon, Hayden Man, and Captain John Silence of the Dauntless. There were others, of course. Jack Random, Ruby Journey, Investigator Frost, Giles Deathstalker. But they are all dead. Of these five before you, it is possible that some or all are still alive.
The image on the screen changed, showing just the one man. He was tall and rangy, with dark hair and darker eyes. He held himself like a fighter. No, a warrior. There was a tired, almost bitter quality to his face, like a man who'd carried heavy burdens without complaint for much longer than any man should ever have to. He looked competent, crafty, dangerous. Lewis recognized him from the scenes he'd been shown deep in the techno jungle of Shub.
Owen. Oh, God. Look at you. What did they do to you to weigh you down like that?
Yes, this is Owen Deathstalker. The reluctant hero who walked the madness maze to its very heart and learned there the answers to questions we can only guess at. Owen, lost to us now, in time, who died alone, far from friends and succor, in the dirty back alleys of Mistport.
A familiar weight settled over Lewis's heart, crushing newly raised hopes.
So, he really is dead? You're sure?
No, we are not sure. He died, but he has been seen in the future, alive and fighting at your side. When you know the answer to this mystery, perhaps you will come back and explain it to us.
Hold it! Everyone go back to their starting position. Is Owen alive or not?
The Deathstalker died on Mistworld, that much is certain. But we are dealing with time travel here. Many things are possible with time travel, supposedly.
In other words, you haven't got a clue either. I think this is why humanity never invented a practical means for time travel. Because it makes your head hurt just thinking about the implications.
Owen's image disappeared from the screen before them, replaced by a young woman. Tall and lithely muscular, she scowled out of the screen with a sharp pointed face and a mane of long, untidy red hair. Her eyes were hooded and a piercing green. She gave off the same dangerous quality as a cornered rat and looked like someone you'd be really stupid to turn your back on.
Lewis could feel his nose wrinkling as he looked at her. Surely this couldn't be who he thought it was. Surely this Gutter Bravo couldn't be the legendary love of the Blessed Owen Deathstalker.
Hazel Dark, a great fighter, a brave and canny warrior. She endured stresses and strains that would have broken most people. From blood addiction, to the loss of good friends, to the birth of a new social order she knew she could never really be a part of. But in the end, she broke, faced with one loss too many. She loved Owen, but she never told him. And with his death, she knew she never would. She ran away and disappeared, after the last great battle against the Recreated. She saved humanity, but she couldn't save the one man she truly cared for. She never got to see the golden age her courage and her actions helped to bring about. No one has seen anything of her for 200 years. Her fate remains a mystery, even to us.
Poor girl. We owe her so much. And the universe wouldn't even let her have the one thing she wanted.
She made the mistake of loving a Deathstalker. We've never been lucky in love.
Perhaps I can change that.
Perhaps.
They smiled at each other. Next up on the screen was a short blonde woman with a pale face and sharp blue, absolutely crazy eyes. She looked like she was about to jump right out of the screen and bite everyone's throats out. She looked like she'd taken everything fate could throw at her, and then spat in fate's face, and laughed. This was a woman who'd had two names, both of them equally feared and respected.
Diana Virtue, Captain Silence's daughter, also known as Jenny Psycho. Once a manifest of the Mater Mundi, she became an Uber Esper in her own right, one of the most powerful minds of her time. She helped form the Oversoul. She taught the AIs of Shub their true nature, and fought the Recreated to a standstill, buying time for Owen to save us all. She was assassinated 118 years ago, at the first great rebellion of the Elves. There were rumors of Super Esper involvement, the Shatter Freak, and the Grey Train. Certainly no ordinary combination of Espers could have brought her down. She was betrayed by those she had reason to trust, and her body was utterly destroyed. Rogue energies still flare and burn on the spot where she fell. It is said that her mind still lives on as a part of the Oversoul, that she can still be contacted through them. Or perhaps it is just that the Espers also need comforting myths to sustain them.
There was no mistaking the next figure on the screen. The subtly inhuman face, the glowing golden eyes. The cyborg, the augmented man, the old enemy of humanity. The man-machine with a mark of Cain upon his brow. The Hayden man, Tobias Moon. He didn't look that special until you came to the face and the eyes. Just looking at them made Lewis's hair stand up on the back of his neck. No one had made a cyborg of any kind in hundreds of years, and all because of what the Hayden men had done in their time. All long gone now, they were the bogeymen of the modern age, the stuff of nightmares and the villains of 1,000 adventure vid serials. Fractious children were told to go to sleep, or the Hayden men would get them. Tobias Moon was the last of them, and only a minor legend, barely remembered, omitted from all the official versions, because his presence was just too disturbing. Robert and Constance hadn't wanted humanity to know they owed their present freedoms, in part, to a Hayden man.
Tobias Moon, the Hayden man who died and returned to life, the cyborg who rejected his own people to become Owen's friend and ally, who sought so very hard to find the humanity within him. Perhaps the only living survivor of all those who passed through the madness maze. It is said he can still be found on what was once a leper colony, deep in the sentient jungles of Lacrimae Christi. A hermit for 2 centuries now, he is the sole means whereby the colonists of the planet can communicate with a living consciousness of the world, the Red Brain. People who go looking for Tobias Moon without good reason tend not to come back.
So he was real. I often wondered. There are so many versions of the story, especially once you start really digging, and so many apocrypha. And it didn't seem exactly likely, a Hayden man fighting for humanity.
Jessamine nodded.
Ooh, he gives me the creeps just looking at him. Why did this version of the legend have to be true? I much prefer the one where Owen raises an army of dragons to fight against the recreated.
No, that was Carrion and the Ashrai.
Lewis and Jessamine looked at him.
Who?
What?
The next figure on the screen was a more familiar sight. A tall, lean man with a thickening waist and a receding hairline. He wore an old-fashioned uniform of an Imperial fleet captain. He looked like a man used to giving orders, and a man used to being obeyed. Lewis recognized him at once from the scenes Shub had shown him.
Captain John Silence. He worked with King Robert and Queen Constance to build the Golden Age, though he never approved of the myth-making process. He dropped out of public sight just over 100 years ago, when people started worshipping his statues. The Shadow Court sent a whole army against his isolated country house and burned it down with him in it. They couldn't find enough of his body to bury, but they collected some ashes and scattered them across the Victory Gardens in the Parade of the Endless. One of the few officers who served the Empress Lionstone loyally to the end, who went on to be lionized by the people for his heroic actions against Shub and the Recreated. He passed through the Madness Maze, it is said, but if he acquired any powers or abilities, he never showed them. It is also said he loved an investigator.
Poor bastard. Legend has it they were even more inhuman than the Haydenmen.
There was a pause. Then, an unexpected sixth figure appeared on the screen. There was nothing familiar about this man. Tall and whipcord lean, he dressed in black leathers under a billowing black cape. Jet black hair and coal black eyes, his face was pale and proud and utterly unyielding. His thin mouth had an arrogant curl, and his stance was openly defiant. And in his hand, one of the great lost weapons of the old empire, the Power Lance.
Since you asked about him, this is Carrion. And what information we have been able to gather is often contradictory. A traitor to the Empire, he fought alongside the alien Ashrai against humanity, deserted his ship and crew, and killed his own friends and fellow officers in defense of the planet Unseelie. The planet was scorched, the Ashrai were exterminated, but somehow Carrion survived there for years afterwards, living alone on a dead planet. He was Captain Silence's closest friend and companion. Carrion, a man of great power, possibly derived from the maze, possibly from the dead Ashrai. He was never a part of the legends, and barely mentioned even in the wildest apocrypha. But records exist that suggest he was a vital part of the history, that he gathered an army of the Ashrai and flew unprotected through space with them under his own power to oppose the Recreated in the last great battle, which may be where the legends of Owen and the dragons came from. It may be that this Carrion knows things that we do not, that you will need to know. It is said that he still lives on the restored world of Unseelie, among the Ashrai, brought to life again by Owen and the Maze. If so, he is older than any other human, living among the alien Ashrai as one of them. Approach him with caution. No human has had contact with him for 200 years, not least because the only human he ever cared for was his lost friend, Captain Silence. Unseelie is a forbidden world, quarantined by order of Parliament, after the Ashrai turned down the offer of their own seat in Parliament. The only alien species ever so honored. No ships land on Unseelie. The few that got past the quarantine star cruiser were destroyed by the Ashrai.
The view screen disappeared. Strange geometric shapes rose up out of the dust planes of memory, revolving slowly, endlessly unfolding. Lewis looked at Jessamine, and then back at the crumbling gray figure still standing before them.
So, The only survivors from the Days of Legend are Owen, possibly, in the future, Hazel, missing, Diana Virtue, possibly, as part of the Oversoul, and two ex-terrorists, Tobias Moon and Carrion. Not really what I was hoping to hear.
The gray man shrugged. In a curiously jerky motion that temporarily lost him one of his shoulders as it flowed away down his arm.
Nothing is certain where the Madness Maze is concerned. Whatever it does to people, it breaks every law of science we understand. All of these people became more than human. Perhaps for such as they, death is not the end. You must search out the history, the truth. Go to Mistworld, to Lacrimae Christi, to Unseelie. You are a Deathstalker. Perhaps people will talk to you who would not talk to anyone else. And in searching out legends, it may be that you will become a legend yourself. Certainly only beings of power like those in the old legends can hope to protect us all from the terror. So go now, Deathstalker, and do what you have to do.
The figure turned and walked away across the sighing surface of the dust plains of memory. The towers crumbled and fell, and were absorbed back into the gray sea along with all the other shapes, until all that remained of the last great receptacle of human history was a gently twitching surface, murmuring querulously to itself in overlapping voices.